Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At the time to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your phone, unmute your phone, and record your name when prompted. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. May I introduce your first speaker for today, Jeff Wells. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ritu. Welcome, everybody. This is another call and webinar about the Consolidated Audit Trail, and I thank you all for making time to listen in and hopefully to participate in some questions at the end. I'm Jeff Wells. I'm the Technical Project Manager at SIBO Global Markets, but I'm responsible here, of course, for dealing with the CAT, but also I'm representing the SROs in general today as we introduce this topic. If you could move on to the agenda page so we can see what we've got on the list today. We'll cover the implementation dates and make sure that we're on the same page as we go forward. We're also going to look at the technical specs. So we're not going to go into every single detail, but there were some new specs that were put out on the 29th of March on the CAT NMS website, and this is an opportunity for us to explain the key changes and give you some guidance and a kind of roadmap to help understand what they're about. In particular, also, we're going to talk about the reporting scenarios and some key changes there, so you can understand what that's all about. And one of the most important things that we've really got going already, we started this a week or so ago, the registration update, how to register your firm for reporting into the CAT. And then we'll go on to talk about upcoming events to keep you informed and allow you to interact as efficiently as possible with the CAT and your reporting responsibilities. And we'll finish up with some Q&A, which will be verbal today, which is different from previously. Just a reminder on a couple of things. The actual dates, they are all subject to the SEC, but they are the dates that we have right now. And I think we're ready, really, to start wading into the dates. So with that, I'd like to introduce Shelley Bolin from FINRA/CAT, and we now have officially FINRA/CAT as the vendor in charge of delivering the technology and the consolidated audit trail itself. So, Shelley, if we could just go to the next slide, and I will hand over to Shelley.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. So we wanted to take a few minutes this afternoon and provide some additional implementation dates that I know everyone has been anxiously awaiting for. We have previously announced our Phase 2A and 2B dates in our last webinar and an incremental approach that we're taking where we introduce basic syntax validations in the initial phase, then we incrementally introduce additional validation, linkage validations as we move forward in time. So we're not blowing, you know, we're not getting into all of that. Again, that's posted on CatNMS web. CatNMS.com websites. You can go there and get all of the details from our previous presentations. So we're going to focus today more on the dates for 2C and 2D and small firms. And as Jeff mentioned, these dates we are moving forward. This is our implementation plan. However, as we've always stated, you know, all dates are still subject to SEC approval. So let's start looking at the dates for large firms and small OATS reporting firms. Just a quick recap here, Phase 2A, which is the first equity implementation, will be the tech specs will be final on April 29th. We are proceeding. We just published another version. We're going to talk about that later, a draft version last Friday. The final date will be April 29th. The test environment will open in December 2019, and then we have a series of incremental releases until we get till September 2020. And then we will move into the prod date, the first prod date being April 2020 with full implementation in October 2020. And then 2B follows a similar path with the test period opening in December 2019, going all the way through the final test release date, September 2020. And as we had previously mentioned in our prior presentation, the test environment and build on the processor side, 2A, 2B, will be developed concurrently. So the test environment will open for both 2A and 2B on those incremental dates. However, the prod date for the options piece of it, 2B, has a slightly later date for the different incremental approaches, May 2020 being the first, with December 2020 being the final implementation date. Then for 2C and 2D, 2C, just to refresh everybody's memory, is the more complex piece of the equity implementation. Representative orders is a big piece of that. The more complex representative order flows, there's a list of scope for 2C. It's included in the spec. We won't go into all of that detail here, but that will be a single implementation. So as the 2A is incremental and we build different functionality as we move forward, 2C will be essentially a single implementation of the additional functionality. We will be publishing the final version of the specifications for 2C in January of 2020. We anticipate there will be some draft versions that would be published before that. We have a lot of additional conversations with the industry on various topics that are included in 2C. That is the more complex piece of it. So that'll be happening in the interim throughout this year. And then the test environment would be available in January 2021. So you have a whole year here of knowing what you've got to build so you can build it. And then the prod date would be April 2021. And then 2D, which is the final options phase, this is the manual options and then all the complex orders, cross-product orders, the most complex piece of that implementation. Again, it's a single implementation date as opposed to the 2B, which is, has an incremental approach. And this final specifications for 2D started for June 2020 with the test open date of June of 2021. So again, a year there to build what is the most complicated part of this for options with a prod date then of December 2021. And then the customer and account dates, and this is a single implementation at this point, and the final tech specs are targeted to be published for that in January 2021 with a year for build on that, test environment opening in January 2022, and a prod date of July 2022, so a six-month test window there. And we would note that the small OATS reporting firms, when to call this out specifically, the small OATS reporting acceleration for those firms only applies to 2A, which includes all the OATS scope. So the point of accelerating small OATS firms is so that OATS can be retired as quickly as possible. So to do that, we need every OATS reporting firm in 2A. So this, once that happens, then the rest of these implementation dates, 2B, 2C, 2D, small firms, even if you are an OATS reporter, are going to follow the small firm implementation dates. So let's move on to the next slide where we're going to talk about what those dates are. If we can go, okay. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong screen. I apologize for that. All right. So on the small firms, and just a reminder that a small firm under Rule 613 is any firm who has total capital of less than $500,000. So we just talked about this OATS reporters that will go with the large firms. So if you're not an OATS reporter, then here's where you're going to fall. And as we've carefully looked at this and the intent of giving the small firms additional time that was contemplated in the plan, looking across how all the phasing ended up working out, we have determined that the most appropriate and straightforward implementation approach for small firms will be a single implementation date across all the different phases and functionalities, and that would be December 2021. So we believe that still gives small firms plenty of time for the development that they need to procure the resources or reporting agents, et cetera, and also simplifies it. So a single implementation date for non-OATS reporting small firms of December 2021. And then on the customer and account piece of it, it would be a single date of July 2022, which would be the same as large firms. So we're going to do a single implementation for all firms for customer and account. And I had already previously talked about what the spec dates are. So we're going to go ahead and move on into the presentation. There'll be, like they said at the beginning of the call, plenty of time for FAQ at the end so we can answer any questions there. But at this point, we want to move forward with the presentation. So I'm going to turn it over to Paul and the team. We're going to talk about the certification update.
Great. Thanks, Shelley. Good afternoon, everybody. The next couple of slides, we wanted to focus on what the major changes were in the most recent version of the tech specs that we just posted on March 29th. They can be found on the catnmsplan.com website on the technical specifications link. And what you'll find there is both a clean as well as a redline version copy of the specification so that you can see what changes were made since the previous version we posted back on February 28th. So there were a lot of changes made. Some of these were cleanups, added definitions, things along those lines. But for what the main areas are that where the most work was and where people will want to pay attention to, the first area is in Section 6 and 7. Where we made some updates for the error correction and feedback processes. So in Section 6 and 7, one thing that you'll see, which is a big change, is that we updated the file name convention to allow for or to support the reporting of multiple event dates in a single file. I think previously it was the files were by calendar date, and all the records had to be from that particular calendar date. So the way that it's set up now is you'll be providing a file generation date, and with that file generation date, you can give us multiple event dates within that particular file. So we think that that gives the firms a little bit more flexibility in reporting things like late reports and things along those things like that to give you a little bit more freedom and flexibility there. In addition, we provided additional information related to error correction and feedback, the types of feedback that you will get, the way that a little bit more detail on how to make error corrections. We also included a table of feedback and error correction delivery timeframes, so the anticipated timeframes as well as the required timeframe, the time that we're committing to get it back to you, which the anticipated time frames are much sooner than what's required. So we had laid all that out. We added new fields to each event to support the error corrections. This gives us, as well as the firms, the ability to more quickly locate what is going to be corrected. So you can see those fields here. And then we have added Appendix E, and I know this is something that firms and the industry was very eager to get. And what this does is kind of lays out the different types of feedback we're going to be giving CAT reporters, which include file acknowledgement. We also include file integrity error codes, as well as order events ingestion error codes. Now, we know that everybody is eagerly anticipating the linkage error codes, and we are continuing to work through those. And those final linkage codes will be available in the next version of the spec that's targeted for April 29th. So if we can move on to the next slide. So So another area where we made some changes was, which we want to be sure that people are paying attention to, are in some instances of the linkage keys. And again, the linkage keys are the fields that we use to link events together. So two particular areas that we added were the parent order key linkages, as well as the TRF linkage key. So that's how we link the trade event to the TRF trade reports in the TRFs. In addition, we updated instances where the parent order key would be applicable instead of a prior order key, and then we updated field names that were referenced within linkage keys based on changes to event fields. So things like reporter IMID or order receive dates, things like that. We wanted to make sure that they were included in the linkage keys as they are part of those keys. And then other changes that we made, we clarified some definitions, like date definitions. So anything that we changed that may have had a change in the document, we wanted to be sure that we were clarifying those as well to make those conform in Appendix D. Another big change is that we did remove an event type, the MEOTQ, which is the trade as a result of a quote event. You'll see that would now be reflected in an MEOT, which is a trade event. And then we also added the quote ID to the MEOT, and we made it a conditional field, and that requirement to report the quote ID on a trade has been deferred to Phase 2C. And then another question that had come up a lot was that there was firms, particularly the ATSs, wanted additional clarity on fields that were only required to be populated by ATSs. So we tried to make that more clear for them. So next slide, please. So along with the technical specifications document, we also published the industry member reporting scenarios document, which is the companion piece to the technical specifications. And we did make some changes there to that document as well. We will continue to enhance that document with additional scenarios as we move forward through this process. But we did want to point out what was accomplished with this round. So one thing that we did was we created new sections that were dedicated specifically to ATS reporting and to OTC equity securities reporting, and then we added new scenarios to each of those sections. And then so now, rather than having these scenarios in different areas of the document, there's a block for ATSs, there's a block for OTC equity securities, just to try to make it a bit easier for firms to navigate through that document to see what if there's a business model that pertains to them. We also removed the scenario 2.2.5, which was the trade as a result of a quote scenario, which for the reasons I just mentioned, we had taken away the MEOTQ event. And then we added scenario 3.3.2 that has to do with instances where a combined order single-leg electronic orders are received in the option space. Those are combined and then sent to the exchange. So we were able to add that scenario for this go-around as well. And as I said, we'll continue to enhance this document as we move forward with additional scenarios. Moving on to the next slide. So the next slide, we just wanted to remind the industry that the CAP registration is open. I know we had a webinar on this last week or so ago. Registration forms are coming in. They are coming in a little bit, we'd like to see the pace on those pick up a bit. I think we have about 10% of the anticipated firms that we would expect. So we are hopeful that firms can start moving this along and get the registration forms in. We know there's a lot of things to sort out as you go through the process, but we do want to encourage you to take the time and get that in, and that would be one thing you'll get off your plate. The registration form is on the catnmsplan.com website. There is a tab there for registration. Registration is open through June 27th. Next slide, please. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jeff Wells.
Thank you very much, Paul. There was a considerable amount of material there, and hopefully everyone will find it very useful, especially error corrections and many of the other things that people have been asking for. And I'd like to thank all the participants in terms of broker-dealers and firms that have been giving feedback. And I think as a result, the spec is in a much better condition. So that's very good. Thank you to everybody. And a lot of the feedback has come through industry meetings, and we do have more industry meetings lined up. For sure, on April the 16th, we're going to have a webinar, which is on the firm-designated identifier. So that will explain what FDID is, what it's about, and what you should be doing about it. Following that, we are looking to have some in-person deep dives for the options markets, both in New York and Chicago. And we have the target of mid-May. We were originally going to do these at the end of January or thereabouts. But we now want to get this going again, and I'm just working with the venues and other people so we get the logistics together. And we find these in-person meetings extremely valuable because it gives the opportunity for the community to directly ask people on the panel and, of course, in a more social setting. And this adds to the body of knowledge and the improvement of the and efficiency of the overall system at the end of the day. So those are the upcoming events we have, and there will be more as we proceed through the project and through the dates and times that that Shelley outlined earlier. Now, if you move on to the next slide, just wanted to point out here there is a live FINRA CAT help desk and a phone number that you can call. There is the email address and the address for the CAT NMS plan remains the same. If you haven't already, I would strongly advise you to register on there in terms so that you can get updates. You can subscribe on there so that you don't miss any seminars or any other important alerts that come out from the CAT NMS plan. So with that, I think it's now about time for us to open up for questions in general, and hopefully we can give you some answers today. If not, certainly there may be questions that come up we can't answer, and we'll say that, and we'll try and get you something later. So, Ritu, maybe I'll just hand over to you to give instructions how to ask questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. For the participants over the phone, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one on your phone, unmute your phone, and please record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To cancel your request, you may press star followed by the number two. Once again, for questions, please press star one and record your name clearly when prompted. To cancel it, you may press star followed by the number two. One moment, please, for our incoming questions. Our first question comes from Deborah Barclay. Your line is now open.
Hi, folks. It's Deborah Botto from Barclays calling. How is everyone?
Good.
Hi, guys. I missed last week's industry call, and when I was reading, trying to catch up on my emails because I was out a couple weeks ago, I saw about this registration, but I don't know too much about it. What's the purpose of the registration form? Is it to give firms access to the CAT processor website, or what exactly is it for?
No, the purpose of the registration form is to identify the pool of CAT reporters so that we can start working with them to get to the next stages. So we're establishing the contacts for the firm, we're identifying who the firms are, we're identifying who the service bureaus are, we're getting a sense of how they may be reporting. Are they reporting for themselves? Are they having somebody else report on their behalf?
would I be able to kind of just direct you guys to our OATS information, being that it's all the same?
No, it's a separate system. We'd like to have that, a separate registration form. It's not in, it's like 10 questions. Fairly efficient form to get.
And the link to it is on the emails from last week, correct?
It is. Or if you just go to the catnmsplan.com website, there's a tab on the upper right-hand corner for registration.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from Ragnish. Your line is now open. Ragnish,
your line is now open, sir. Yeah, when will be the schemas available for different CAT events?
Are you referring to the JSON schema?
Yes.
The JSON schemas, they should be available in the middle of May.
Okay. Mid-May. Yep, mid-May we're targeting for the JSON schema.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
And our next question comes from Adam of GFI Group. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question regarding, I know you didn't touch upon it, this meeting, but the certification. And is each firm going to actually have to certify themselves? Or, in other words, if we're all on FIDESA, is it possible that just FIDESA can certify and every user within FIDESA will then be grandfathered in, or however you want to term it?
Yeah, we are working through the testing certification process now. Certainly anybody that's transmitting data is going to have an obligation to test and certify. The FIDESAs, the service bureaus of the world that are transmitting on behalf of other members will absolutely have to certify. We're working through the process now to see what the extent of that certification is. Do they need to submit a file for everybody they report for? That's what we still want to work through. And we'll get more information out on that as we move further down the process and we publish our test plan.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Stephen Gunnari. Your line is now open.
Yeah, my question has to do with the latest update, Phase 2A, Part 1, the go-live of 2020. You indicated that you want all event and scenarios to also cover OATS. What does that specifically mean? Do we have to map the current CAT events to the OATS events that we're reporting to make sure that we don't duplicate and therefore, only deal with the incremental data elements that have to be provided?
Yes. No, basically what I meant by that is all of the scope that's included in OATS is included in the 2A specification so that it would allow, once fully implemented, we can then retire OATS because everything that is captured in OATS is captured in CAT. But it's not about any relationship between the OATS data record types or things like that and CAT data. It's just that it includes the same information, essentially, so that FINRA would then be able to turn off OATS and switch its surveillance and regulatory activities to CAT as its data source.
So is this a change in policy? Because initially we were led to believe that we were going to run OATS and CAT concurrently for a while before you retire OATS. So does that mean that, now you're thinking of actually retiring OATS effective April 2020?
No, not at all. It would still be some concurrent period of time, and it's not fully implemented until October 2020, where all of the linkages are going to be in place, the exchange, TRF, it's an incremental approach. So the full functionality won't be in production until October 2020 for CAT anyway, but then there will be some period of time, and that's still to be determined. FINRA will be filing an OATS retirement filing to spell out and specify what that looks like, and I think, one of the big things is the test will be the compliance rates that are in CAT, and if those are at rates that are comparable to what we have in OATS or sufficient for FINRA to run its surveillance programs off of.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, participants. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one and record your name at the prompt. To withdraw, you may press star followed by the number two. At this time, we have five questions in queue. Please allow me to a few seconds to get the names, please. And the next question in queue comes from Swapnil Shadev. Your line is now open.
Hi there. Hi, my question, you know, is around like submission requirements, specifically around the encryption timelines. So I believe, you know, in the new spec, we have streamlined some of the encryption requirements. However, in the spec, it also mentioned that like some of security details will be revealed in the final spec. Just wanted to understand that, you know, like how much of the encryption things can we expect, you know, to be let go of at least in the first phase.
That's a great question. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have to take that one back and get back with some more information on that. We'll work with our information security officer and get that. There's going to be some supplement information, but the timing of that and what's going to change, I think we'll be closer to the end of the April time period, but we'll definitely need to get back on specifics on that.
Okay, so just like one question, you know, like maybe similar to how we had the in-person meeting, you know, on the error correction, can we consider an in-person meeting specifically, you know, around the submission requirements and the encryption part of it?
Sure, yeah. We're absolutely open to entertaining that if people would find that helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Andrew Yee. Your line is now open, sir.
No. Hi, Paul and Shelley. Just a quick question on the registration. I know you guys are getting, I guess, what, 165 or 10% slower than what you had hoped. I was hoping that would it be possible for you guys to publish that preliminary list? Because we have a lot of introducing brokers, and we're hoping to go out and maybe encourage them to register.
Yeah, I don't think, Andrew, that that's something that we're at liberty to post. You know, that's information that firms are, you know, submitting directly into CAT. So I don't think that's something that we're at liberty to post. You know, but we would certainly encourage any clearing firms, service bureaus, anything like that to, you know, push information out and let them know that this process is in place and ongoing. But you know, we can't, you know, name firms that have or have not registered.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from Matthew Henry. Your line is now open, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Just a question. I was getting out of the car, and I missed the question that was on certification. We have two firms that are submitting on our behalf, and I believe we will have to do the corrections. Do we have to get tested on doing corrections? Is there a certification on that, or what was that certification part that I had missed?
Yeah, the certification question that was previously asked was, you know, who is going to have to certify? And what we were saying is that anybody that's going to be transmitting data into the system will have an obligation to certify. So anybody who's submitting data on their own behalf, anybody that's submitting data on behalf of others, is certainly going to have to certify. We're going.
So even though you have someone submitting for you, you still need to register yourself.
Well, you definitely have to register, yes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
And the certified part is different than registration?
Correct. The registration is the collecting of information about the broker-dealer or about the CAT reporter. And then the certification would be part of the test plan where firms are generating files with records in them and submitting them. And we'll be running them through our validation to ensure that anybody that's submitting data into the system is able to do so with minimal errors.
Okay, so the only data we'll be submitting or resubmitting into the system would be a correction, and there will be a time, a testing time set up just for that. We'll be doing with other firms, or do we just do it at random?
Yeah, well, all of your data will be submitted on your could be submitted on your behalf.
Correct.
And if you get any feedback on that, there would also be, I think that we would be running some training programs around the system, around the portal, and showing firms how to correct that data. But I see your point. You bring up a good point, and we will take that back. That if you know there's not data submitted on your behalf, how do you practice and work on those corrections? So we will take that back.
We could get a workshop going on that, and you know, have the firms participate with with the people that report on their behalf to have a hand in it too.
Right. Yeah, we will certainly take that back and consider that as we go through our test plan.
All right, great. Thanks, Paul. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Thank you. The next question comes from Tanya Edwards. Your line is now open. Tanya Edwards, your line is now open, ma'am.
Hi, Paul.
Hello. Yes.
Hi. The question I had was on the registration form, there is a field of the primary contact, secondary contact, and principal. Which of these fields map to the SAA in the OATS world? Is the primary contact the person responsible for the submission on the technology side? Or would it be the person who is maintaining the access, like how SAA does?
Right. So what you're speaking of a little bit is getting into the entitlement process. This registration is still a little bit separate from entitlement. This is really just, who at the firm should we be dealing with if there's something that comes up regarding CAT. That's why we're asking for this contact information. If we need to get in touch with your firm, who should we be calling? Who do you want us, meaning at your firm, who do you want us to be calling or dealing with if there's something that comes up with an issue? That's the primary contact. If they're not there, who's the next person? That's the secondary contact. And then the registered principal is, the 24 that's, kind of ultimately responsible or in dealing with the CAT. So that's the registration form and the contacts. We are going down the path of working through entitlement, and that's where you start getting into things like SAAs, super account administrators, FTP access, portal access, and we're going to have more information coming out on that process as well in our onboarding user guide, which we're working through.
Okay. The second question I had was regarding our existing OATS application itself. Our firm, we are thinking of leveraging our existing OATS application towards CAT, towards building the CAT system. Do you have any thoughts on that, if that's a good direction to take, or I don't know what is going on with other firms, whether they're rebuilding the CAT system from scratch?
Yeah, I don't think that I can provide any guidance in that direction. I think each firm needs to assess their reporting obligations. They need to assess their system structure and make that determination on how best to comply with these CAT reporting requirements.
Okay. So on the same note, so you did publish the OATS to CAT mapping document, which is very helpful. Is there any way we could get the other way around as well, like CAT to OATS mapping that will help us identify all the new attributes that are required as part of CAT?
Yeah, we're just considering that. Let us take that back, and we'll talk to the some of the industry groups on it as well.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll chip in on your first part of your question there. It's Jeff here at SIBO. So we kind of looked at it as well. We had the same. Well, we also report to OATS with the broker dealer. When we looked at the thing, the whole project, you have to think about what your business is and what you actually do and what your architecture is. And from that, you can determine, I think, the best architectural choices. And I think many firms are going to be different.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Going back to Paul's question, on the same note, if you're doing the SCAT to OATS mapping, if you're considering that, it would also be helpful to help identify the reporting scenarios, the new reporting scenarios that are required as part of SCAT, like the representative orders and other scenarios that are new requirement as part of SCAT.
Yeah, we're continuing to look at the scenarios documents and taking the feedback from the industry to see where that those would be helpful. So, yeah, we certainly understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from Neil Anigan of Edward Jones. Your line is now open, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Do you all have any update yet on the cost and funding plan?
It's Jeff here. No, we haven't actually at the moment. There's nothing new on that, but thanks for asking.
No, thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris Buck. Your line is now open.
Hey, Paul. It's Chris. I think you answered my question a couple of questions ago, but I was hoping to get confirmation that for CAT registration purposes, for the principal, CAT principal, it would require a FINRA Series 24 designation?
Yeah, you got it, Chris. It is a Series 24, and we're in the process of putting an FAQ out for that as well, because that has certainly come up.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Mitesh Janani. Your line is now open, sir.
Hi, Paul. We raised this question before, but just doing a follow-up here about the IMID list. Do you know by when can we expect IMID list?
This is the list of discrepancies.
Yeah, when you say IMID list, are you referring to the the default IMID list that's to be used for discrepancies, reporting discrepancies, or things like that?
That's right. Yep.
No, we'll take that back as to get a target date on that. I'm not sure that we published that. Point taken. We'll take that back and come back with the target date of when we can have that published.
Yeah, and I think really an important component of that, I don't think we can do it before June 27th because we need the default CATA IMIDs through the registration process. So that's a big part of why we're pushing the registration process forward is so that we can get that to help create that list.
Okay, and I have a second question around the Symbology file. Can we use the current OATS file around the Symbology, or is there a plan to that we will receive a new Symbology file for CAT?
I think that yes, you could use the OATS file. It will be essentially the same. We will be publishing, obviously, a new CAT-specific version, but the Symbology and the formats should be the same for equity securities.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Pradeep Chand. Your line is now open.
Hello. Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions on the new fields that were added in the spec. So I think in general, when we were discussing in the tech FIF working group call, so the confirmation was that we won't have any material changes after the final version was released. But the last version, Feb 28, March 29th version, so they have like five or six new fields added, and these are really material changes. So my question is, will there be any more fields or any more material changes done in the future? Because, a lot of work that we have done have to be kind of reanalyzed. If development is done, we have to kind of recode to fit the requirements, which takes a lot of our time, actually. So that's where we just want to understand why there are material changes and will we have any more changes in the future?
So let me just handle the first part of that question. We certainly appreciate the comment. And, the fields that we added were really focused on kind of helping to enable the error correction process to try to make that easier. So that's really the genesis or what was behind adding those fields. As for future additions or of fields,
yes. So I think for future additions, there are some things that we are targeting to add in the 429 release that we can kind of, you know, preview here. You know, as we've gone through it, and we've noticed that some of the fields, like for merger and acquisition, so there's an, you know, in the oath roll today, we have a field that would support something like that. There is not something that exists like that in the CAT context, so we would want to sort of add that in. There's a couple of fields, like a special routing condition on a route report, things like that, that help facilitate, you know, sometimes exchanges require a router order ID to be repeated, and there's no indicator right now there as well. And then finally, I think there would be, for ATS's, a display indicator, that would be the only other field that we'd be looking to add, and that's, again, to facilitate some additional processing, especially, you know, like, for example, the mergers and acquisitions would generally be blank unless your broker-dealer is going through a scenario like that. But we are trying to make sure that we can facilitate all types of scenarios, which would why we are looking to add those in the next version, on the final version for 429.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Laura Liu. Your line is now open, ma'am.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. In the last industry update, there was mention about removing conformance period. Is this something that is confirmed or still yet to be determined?
Yeah, for the 2A, the original conformance period that we had associated with a November 2019 start date and carrying us into February, that has definitely been eliminated with this new incremental approach where we start in April and we don't finish with full functionality till October. So given that elongated incremental approach, we've moved away from the conformance period.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. And the last question comes from Ide Patel. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. I have one question. I saw that your test environment would be available in December of this year for the way I understood, for production certification. But prior to that, as we develop based on the spec you provide, would we have access to your test system for a unit testing kind of thing to see that whatever we develop works or not?
No, the December timeframe would be the initial opening of the test environment, so all testing would start at that time.
I see. Okay, so that's earliest time we'll have access to upload file to you or send a file to you, and also maybe in parallel access to a portal where we can see the results of our uploads.
Correct. That's correct.
That's right. And to be, you know, frank, that the test environment open is. These dates that we've laid out here are also to accommodate the processor's build. You know, as SINRACAT is coming in to build this, that's the amount of time that we need to build, be able to open the test environment. I mean, we'd love to open it earlier, but quite frankly, that's the earliest date that we feel will be ready.
I see. Thank you.
Excuse me, speakers. There are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Those were great questions. There were about three or four, I think, where we have some takeaways for SINRACAT and some good ideas, I think, arising for dealing with certification and questions for firms that are dependent on others for reporting. So that was very valuable. So thank you very much to the speakers and to everybody else. The recording will be available on CAT NMS plan. It's normally about 24 hours later, but there'll be an alert when it's available, as well as the PowerPoint slide set and the audio. So thank you very much, everybody.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.